BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America as we delve into the topic of the Jewish fall feast. Now, the Jewish calendar has many holidays with significance to them, and they're broken up usually between the spring feast and the fall feast. And our guest today is going to give us an overall picture of those, but we're going to then concentrate on the fall feast here on the Jewish calendar, namely that of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. How are these viewed from a Jewish perspective, and what observations can believers in Christ make as it relates to their significance? With us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Marty Zeid. Marty is the director of the Midwest Messianic Center. Marty, as a Jew, placed his trust in Jesus as his Messiah in December of 1971. Marty, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Marty, many times people see these Jewish holidays on their calendar, don't really know what they mean or what their significance is, and we're going to explore those more fully today. But before we do, you were born a Jew. Can you tell us in brief how you came to trust in Jesus as being the Messiah?
I'd love to, yes. I was raised in a Reformed Jewish home, and when my two friends went out to California, they got saved out there, and it was already prearranged that when I get out of the Army and they get back from California, the three of us were going to move to Columbia, Missouri, and go to school. So I found, and we lived together, so I found myself living with two brand-new baby believers. And, you know, they had a tremendous amount of zeal, very little knowledge, but they attacked me with the gospel to the best of their ability.
Wow.
They wouldn't leave me alone. And I says, well, and one of them was from a Jewish background, the other one was from a Gentile background. And I says, I'm okay, I'm not that bad of a guy, I believe in God. And they said, no, it's not that way. You have to come to God on his terms. And they presented the gospel to me. One of them actually went to the Mizzou bookstore and bought me a Bible, which I don't even know if you could do that today, but they were selling Bibles back then. And when my friend handed that Bible to me, that was the first time I ever held any kind of Bible in my hands. I was totally biblically illiterate. And for many months, I didn't read it. Then I picked it up and started reading it. And I started in the New Testament, and I was just absolutely amazed at what I was reading about the person of Jesus the Messiah. And over time, I began to see and connect dots and come to the realization that yes, Jesus was the promised Messiah, and I knew how my parents were going to receive that. If I went home to tell them, I became a follower, because every time I used to have to go home for my Army Reserve duty meetings, they'd say, you're not a believer like Mark and Jim are. You're not a believer in Jesus, are you? And I said, oh, don't worry about that. That'll never happen. Well, it happened December 1st in 1971, and it happened as a result of reading Scripture and also noticing some small changes that were taking place in my friends' lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a...
Marty Zeid here with us here today.
Yeah, and that was a blessing.
Mm-hmm. December 1, 1971.
I don't know why that phone is ringing, but I turned it off. I'm sorry about that. It'll just have to quit on its own.
Sure.
But yeah, what happened was I went home to tell my mom and dad I became a follower of Jesus as the Messiah, and it just shook them to no end. Even though I was raised in a very non-religious Jewish home, when you're Jewish, you're Jewish, and that's just it. I mean, that's it. So after time, things settled down a little bit, and my mom and dad became very favorable about me believing in Jesus, and it kind of went on from there. But that's how it happened. Is I noticed some changes that were taking place in my friends' lives, and I began reading the Bible. And I think it's a very important thing if we can get an unsaved person to read the Bible, but to be there for them, to help them through the process, because most Jewish people don't know how to really understand what the Scriptures are really saying. And it's just like when Philip ran up to the chariot, and the Ethiopian eunuch is reading the scroll of Isaiah, and Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I unless somebody explain it to me? And we need to be there to explain it to lost people who are reading the scriptures. And that's how it happened for me. And then it's been a 50-year journey of just growing and learning and growing. And I just praise the Lord for the privilege that he has given me all these many, many, many years.
Amen. What a joy. And to hear and just have that refresh in our minds how you found the Messiah, and what a joy that is. And I know there's many who are burdened in reaching their Jewish friends for Christ, and later we'll be sharing your website information, because there is just some wonderful tools that are available there to help individuals in doing just that. Marty, as we talk about Jewish holidays, often called High Holy Days, give us an overview, if you would, because we hear spring feast, we hear fall feast. So just give us an overview, if you would.
We find that in Leviticus chapter 23, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 44. And you have the feasts are split 4 to 3, 4 for the spring and 3 for the fall. The 4 spring feasts are Passover, unleavened bread, which comes literally just the day right after Passover, first fruits, and Pentecost, sometimes called the Feast of Weeks. Now, those typically have been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus at his first coming. Those 4 are already fulfilled. Now, the last 3 that we're going to take a look at, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then also Tabernacles, these are the fall feasts, and these will be fulfilled when the Lord Jesus returns. But these are the 7 major feasts that God gave to the people of Israel throughout the calendar that they are supposed to observe. Now, people like myself, who were raised in not really, really observant Jewish homes, we'll celebrate Passover, we'll celebrate maybe the Day of Atonement, but we don't really do many of the others. The more religious you are in your Judaism, the more of these 7 feasts you're going to celebrate. We live in a very Jewish neighborhood here in St. Louis, and we drive around and we'll see during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is coming up, they will build the little shelters in their backyards, or we have a Jewish deli that builds one in their parking lot. Yeah, so it just depends upon what background you're coming from.
Well, Marty, and again, folks, we're talking with Marty Zeid, who is director of the Midwest Messianic Center. Let's talk about these, focus in, because of the fall feasts that are coming before us here. The holiday calendar is showing this up on individual calendars. And the first one is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. So looking at it even more from an Orthodox Jewish perspective, tell us about this day. Or this time known as Rosh Hashanah and its significance.
Well, actually, that's going to take place the month of September. On the 26th of September is going to be the first day, beginning at 25th at sundown, going through the 26th sundown. And people will take off work, they'll take off school, they'll not work that day. Even the non-religious Jewish people, this is one of the 2 times that even non-religious Jewish people will go to a temple. The other one would be Yom Kippur, which is 10 days later. That would be October 5th this year. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Those 2 are celebrated even by the Reform Jewish people. They'll take off work and they'll go to the temple. And of course, the Orthodox Jewish people, they always take things way more seriously. They will have extended services, the Orthodox Jewish people, during these times. They will go to their synagogue. If they're from an Orthodox background, they normally attend a synagogue. If they're from a less religious Jewish background, they'll go to a temple. And yet this will be 2 of the most crowded days of the year, especially for the Reform, because a lot of Reform don't go during the whole year. They just go on these two times. And Rosh Hashanah is the celebration of the new year. Many people have heard of a shofar, that ram's horn that they maybe have seen or heard Jewish people blow the shofar. That's when they blow the shofar on the Jewish New Year. You say, well, wait a minute, this is not December 31st. No, it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, this is on their Jewish calendar, and sometimes people will notice that there are certain Jewish holidays that fall close to some of the holidays that we celebrate. For example, Hanukkah is normally pretty near Christmas, but they will also know that the days change on our calendar every year.
Mm-hmm.
People are wondering, why do their Jewish holidays change? Well, it's the same date on the Jewish calendar, but it's different because they use a lunar calendar, and we use a solar calendar. So there's more days in the year in our calendar. It's the same Jewish date every year. And the last three, the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Weeks, the Booths, it's all in the month of Tishri, which is September, October.
Mm-hmm.
So these last three holidays.
Now, is this when the Jewish calendar marks even the start of the creation of the world?
Yeah, it does. They believe that the year that we are in goes back to creation. And you know what? I think they're probably a lot closer than a lot of believers who believe in, you know, millions and millions or billions and billions of years.
Mm-hmm.
They would almost, whether they don't call it what we would call it, but it's the young earth theory of the creation of the universe. Yeah, so that would be the case, definitely.
Wow. Now, they also call this the Feast of Trumpets, correct?
The Feast of Trumpets, yes, Rosh Hashanah, and it's because they blow the trumpets, and of course they're the ram's horn, they're the shofars. This is the time. It's not like a Times Square New Year celebration that mm-hmm. we're so used to on December 31st, going into January 1. It's actually very solemn. It's a very solemn time of salvation. Some people will fast. They do no work that day. So it's not anything like us going from one year to the new year where everybody's almost out in the streets partying. Mm-hmm. It's not that way at all.
Yeah, I understand that the Mishnah, the Jewish holy book, actually calls Rosh Hashanah the Day of Judgment. And one normally thinks of a new year as a time of celebration. So what about this Day of Judgment?
Well, you know, that is, you know, in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you have 10 days, and these days are extremely significant. They actually call them the days of awe, and it's a great time of contemplation. It's a great time of inner looking to the inner self, because what they believe God is doing during those 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is that God is writing in his books what's going to happen to you for the next year.
Wow.
So you can understand, if you're going to be on your best behavior, it's going to be during those 10 days.
Wow. And we're going to take a quick break here. Marty Zeid with us today, director of the Midwest Messianic Center, talking about the Jewish Fall Feast, and we'll look at its significance as well. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have any feathered dinosaurs been found?
Chris, this is a popular evolutionary story, but it's quite controversial. Some do seem to have a frayed neck fringe, but these are not feathers. Many experts consider them to be just the decayed remnants of dinosaur skin. Dinosaurs were evidently reptilian, very, very different from birds. It's not just the bones and the skin, but the organs and the physiology, the birthing schemes and everything. You can't change one into another just by saying so. Biblically, reptiles didn't change into birds. Land animals were created on day 6 of creation week and birds on day 5, backwards from the evolutionary scenario. Birds have always been birds and reptiles have always been reptiles. And they've been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Marty Zeit, our guest today, director of the Midwest Messianic Center. Marty was raised a Reformed Jew and placed his trust in Jesus as his Messiah December 1971. You said that was December 1st, Marty?
December 1st, yes.
Wow, praise the Lord. We were talking about the Jewish fall feast and certainly getting underway here with the first feast dealing with Rosh Hashanah. And you were talking about these days of awe, this 10-day period even between that and Yom Kippur, which we'll be introducing a few minutes from now. But tell us more about these days of awe. This could actually be a time to witness to Jewish friends.
Yeah, it is. If a person, the more observant they are, the more somber and sober they're going to be during these 10 days, because they fully believe that this is when God is recording in books what is going to happen to them for the upcoming year. And of course, they want the best things to happen. So if they owe any debts or if they've made a promise and they haven't fulfilled it, they would think that this would be a good time to do that. It's a good time for them. When we talk about people doing good works, Jewish people are talking about doing mitzvahs. They do a mitzvah. Like, for example, if they see a person on the side of the road with a flat tire and they stop and help them, that's a mitzvah. Any kind of good deed, the Jewish way to say it is a mitzvah. Hmm. And so they would probably attempt to do more mitzvahs during these 10 days of awe, so they would have good things written down about them. Bottom line, it's just a very serious time, the more religious they are in their Judaism. Another tradition that takes place during Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, is there'll be a time when people will get together and they'll slice up some apples and have apples and honey. That's a very common thing to be eaten during this time, and it's really pointed to their desire for a hope for a sweet year. You have a sweet apple, then you have sweet honey. You're partaking that, and you hope that will be representative of their upcoming year that God is writing about in the 10 days of awe. Now, all of these Jewish feasts, I think this is really important for us to remember. Hallmark cards, they want to invent as many holidays as they can so they could sell more cards. Mm-hmm. These were not holidays invented by mankind. These were given by the Lord to the people of Israel. But they all point, every one of the seven feasts found in Leviticus 23 points to the Messiah. So there is a messianic significance. The Feast of Trumpets, you remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, where at the trump of God, that's going to be something that will be present when the rapture takes place. So messianically speaking, the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, points to the rapture of the church. I had a friend, an older Jewish believer, just a wonderful follower of his Messiah from a very, very religious Orthodox background. He was convinced that the rapture is going to take place on Rosh Hashanah. Now, we can't be sure of that. And the reason why he believed that is the first four festivals in Leviticus 23 all took place on very, very important times within the Jewish calendar. Now, the problem I have with Rosh Hashanah and the rapture having to take place on that day is if it doesn't, then you got to wait a whole nother year for it to happen. Mm. And I believe that the rapture is imminent. It could happen before our conversation is even up. But I know others who believe and hold to that as well. Could it happen this coming Rosh Hashanah? Of course it can, but it could happen at any time. Mm-hmm. But the trump of God that we read about in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18 is certainly reminiscent when Jewish people all around the world are blowing the shofar in celebration of the Jewish New Year.
Some have also looked at that as saying, could it be part of the second coming of Christ to the earth? Do you see that as being plausible?
Well, I think it's, personally, I think it's referring, if it would refer to anything, the trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4 is mm-hmm. referring to the rapture, and they would say that's more in line with that than his coming all the way to the Mount of Olives. Could okay. it happen? Of course, but I see that referring more to depicting the rapture of the church.
So as far as its observances by born-again believers, how do you see this Jewish holiday in that regard? You stay ready.
Yeah, I have Jewish believers who are from an Orthodox background, and they were brought up strictly celebrating all of these feast days throughout the calendar year, and some of them have chosen to continue to do that, but they're messianically they put them inclined by pointing everything that they do to the Messiah, hmm. where our friends who go to a temple or a synagogue from a Jewish background, they're leaving the Messiah out of it. Whenever a Jewish believer celebrates these feasts, it's not because they have to, it's because they choose to, but they use them to show how the Messiah Jesus fulfills these. For example, when we start talking about the Day of Atonement, we'll explain very carefully that there is no atonement offered today in the celebration of Yom Kippur.
Let's go right to it, Marty, because right after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur. And so help us understand, what is Yom Kippur? And it's been described as really being the most important holiday in the Jewish faith.
It is. And because this is the day, I mean, if you go back in the Old Testament and you read, this was the one day a year that the high priest was able to go into the Holy of Holies. This was it. This was on the Day of Atonement. And so the high priest was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies to offer a sacrifice for sins, his sins, for the sins of the nation. But they had to repeat it year after year after year after year. And of course, since the Lord Jesus came and offered himself up for sins, it has really kind of taken away the significance of the Day of Atonement for a believer, because we realize today there are no sacrifices going on. And the reason why there's no sacrifices going on is because they don't have a temple, they don't have a high priest. The Old Testament, one of the minor prophets predicted this, the book of Hosea predicted that they would be without a priesthood and without a temple. So I ask the Jewish people that I talk to, especially the ones who are from the more religious background, and they have a little background in understanding the priesthood and the sacrifices and the temple, etc. So I'll say to them, look, there was a time when our people sacrificed animals. The shedding of blood was necessary. And the reason why was because it was pointed out to Moses in Leviticus 17:11 that God gave blood as a means for the atonement of the soul. So I'll ask them, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that there's no sacrifice today for our sins? And they say, well, yeah, actually, because there's no priest or our temple or sacrifice. So I'll say, well, what do you do? Well, what our Jewish friends have done, unfortunately, is they've substituted their mitzvahs, their good deeds. They think now the only way to obtain any kind of right relationship with God is just to be the best person you could possibly be. Mm. And the problem with that is God looks down and he sees there's none good, no, not one.
Yeah.
And that's why we need the righteousness that the Lord Jesus offers by being the perfect sacrifice.
Yes, and
on our behalf.
So let's talk about that scapegoat.
Yes, yeah, yeah. There's two goats. One is slaughtered. One, the priest puts his hands on the head and he's let go. He just runs off into the wilderness. And, of course, those both are types of what the Lord Jesus did for us. The Lord Jesus died. He was buried, but he rose again from the dead. And since that time, since his death, burial, and resurrection, there is now absolutely no need for any sacrifices for our sins to be done. When Jesus said, "It is finished," everything that was necessary for a person's sins to be forgiven and cleansed was done by what the Lord Jesus did. Even though this is the holiest day of the year in the Jewish calendar, and more people take this day seriously, even more so than Rosh Hashanah, more Jewish people, I mean, this is the day that you really take off work, you don't do any work, you go to the temple, and again, even people that were raised the way I was, we found ourselves, this was one of the 2 days that I was in temple, Day of Atonement and Rosh Hashanah. Not that I was there because I understood, I went there with my buddies from school. You know, we got out of school, of course, but we didn't understand why we were there. It was just something for us to be able to do at that time.
So this would actually be the, many of us are familiar, of course, with Zacharias going into the Holy of Holies and the father of John.
Yeah,
this would be the anniversary of that date.
Yeah, but, you know, that's right. There were priests that were appointed for certain times of service and so forth, and he would be the kind of person that when his lot was called, that he would be one who would go in and to be able to do what was necessary at that time.
So this Day of Atonement, very important to Jews because their sins are actually atoned for on this day?
They think they are, but there's no blood.
Right, okay.
See, that's the thing. I talked to some very, very knowledgeable Jewish people. I have lunch with some of them, and I'll say, well, how do you feel differently when you walk out of synagogue on the Day of Atonement?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, I can't honestly tell you that I saw or felt anything happen.
Yeah.
And I'll say, well, thank you for your honesty, because biblically nothing did happen, because Jesus supersedes the Day of Atonement. He is the atonement
that
is offered by God for the world, not just Jewish people, but Gentile people as well.
And so for believers in Christ, this has great significance as to what took place.
By all means. It has great significance, and if a Jewish person chooses to do some kind of observance of Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, that's fine, as long as they realize that the Messiah Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the feast days. At his first coming, he filled the first four, and he is our fulfillment even today for the Day of Atonement and for Rosh Hashanah as well. The Lord Jesus puts everything into perspective when it comes to these days.
Marty Zeit is with us here today on Crosstalk. Friends, we're just seconds from a break. When we come back, I'm going to be sharing with you, Marty's going to share an email address where you can sign up for his free newsletter and stay abreast of many different issues certainly of interest and areas of witnessing to Jews, and talk about things just like we're talking about here today. So be ready to jot down the information here where you can obtain his free newsletter. Also after the break, we'll also be discussing the Feast of Tabernacles and its significance, the third of the Jewish fall feast. Marty Zeit with us today from the Midwest Messianic Center, and we'll be back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
Is it okay to abort a baby? People give many reasons why abortion is an acceptable choice. The inconvenience of pregnancy. Infant disabilities. It's the woman's body. It's not a baby. This is a result of rape or incest. Incompetence of parents. And she's not ready to be a parent. In the DVD, 7 Reasons, Ray Comfort addresses these 7 questions, reasoning with college students and people on the street about whether such objections are justified. You will see those who are ardently pro-choice change their mind in moments. This powerful 42-minute DVD, 7 Reasons, is available for a donation of just $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD, 7 Reasons.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, the Jewish Fall Feast. Our guest, Marty Zeid, who is the director of the Midwest Messianic Center. Marty, you put out a newsletter. Is this in electronic form?
Well, we actually send it out hard copy. We have found that a lot of people want to hold on to these and because they enjoy the teaching that my associate, Andy, who's been on your program as well.
Yeah, Andy Ferrier.
Andy Ferrier and myself. So we put it out in hard copy. If they would like it in a digital copy, we'd be glad to send it that way as well. And I would offer them, right now we're going through a series on Romans 1:16 evangelism style. How did Paul do it? Well, the way Paul did it is the way we're supposed to do it. So I've got all those notes. If they want to sign up for our newsletter, I'm right in the middle of that series. I'll be glad to send them the entire set of notes, digital, as well as give the information to my secretary, and she will add them to our newsletter list.
Okay, so how is our listeners going to say, sign me up? What are they
doing? Sign me up, and our email address is lennoxc, as in cat, at AOL.com. lennoxc@AOL.com. And just put a note in there that you want the be signed up for the newsletter, and I will just send you the notes that we are going through right now, the study that we're going through on evangelism, Roman 1:16 style.
Okay, again, that's lennoxc, L-E-N-N-O-X, and letter C as in cat, lennoxc@AOL.com. And subject line, just put, send me your newsletter. And if you do want that hard copy, be sure your mailing address is in there so that they can send that off to you, lennoxc@AOL.com. Marty, we were talking about the Day of Atonement here, and the important aspect of this Day of Atonement is this is not waiting to be fulfilled, is it?
No. When the Lord Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," everything that was necessary for the salvation of a soul was accomplished. Unfortunately, there are some people, and many of whom are from a Gentile background, they're getting involved in what's called the Hebrew Roots Movement, or sometimes it's called the Torah Observant Movement, and they are being told that you have to put yourself under the first five books of the Bible, put yourself under the law, you have to become kosher, you don't dare go to church on Sunday, you go to worship on Saturday, and you have to adhere to all of the Jewish things. The men start wearing yarmulkes, and they start wearing the tassels, and so forth and so on. And it's a major, major distraction away from the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians made it very, very, very clear, if anybody has anything to boast about, I more. And he started running down all of these Jewish advantages, Hebrew of the Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin, on and on and on. He says, I gave up all of those things for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And these people are putting Christ Jesus almost on the sideline, and they're focusing more in on the Jewish elements of things. And this to me is just a major spiritual error that many people are getting involved in. And unfortunately, it continues to kind of morph its way down the road. And some of these people even begin to question the triune nature of the Godhead. Well, Judaism, they denounce, they don't believe in the triune Godhead at all. Mm-hmm. Well, we know that that's an essential doctrine. We have to understand who God is biblically because that's the way he revealed himself. So that's why when a person wants to celebrate Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah or some of these other feast days, that's okay. But keep them in their proper place and perspective. These don't take the place of Jesus being the Messiah. The Messiah, Jesus, gives these celebrations significance. And if you don't focus in on him, it could easily be a major distraction to who our Savior is.
Friends, again, that newsletter email address, lennoxc, L-E-N-N-O-X, lennoxc the letter C, at AOL.com, and you can ask for the newsletter. Marty, before time gets away, let's talk about that third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Tell us about it.
Okay, well, one thing you said before about the newsletter, it is vital that you give us your address, otherwise we won't be able to send the newsletter to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send the notes to you digitally, but we're going to send the newsletter
okay.
to your home address, so please include that as well. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles, that's going to take place October 9th through the 16th this year. And this is where, and it's really the more Jewish people who observe their Judaism in a more serious way will actually go out in their backyard. If you live in major cities where you don't even have a backyard, they'll build them on their rooftop. And it's the Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles. And we find this, again, in Leviticus 23, verses 33 to 44. And, again, this is something which is still celebrated by some today. This feast commemorates their time in the wilderness. Remember when they were delivered from their Egyptian bondage? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read through the text of their wanderings, you see that every need they had was supplied. God provided every single need. They never ran out of food. They never ran out of water. It even says that during that 40-year time that their shoes did not even wear out. Now, I don't know anybody that has a 40-year-old pair of shoes that you could still wear unless you've had them resold many, many, many times over. But God took care of them, and that's one of the things that this feast commemorates, was their time in the wilderness, and yet it was a time of great rejoicing. They had the mobile tabernacle where they were able to worship God. And, you know, that was a big deal when they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They couldn't worship God the way God wanted them to. And that's when Moses went into Pharaoh, "Let my people go. Let us go so we can worship the one true God, Jehovah God." And so there was great rejoicing during this time. And that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is commemorating. When they build these little booths, you know, they construct, it's usually kind of looks like a square, but then they will put some kind of leaves on the top of it to make some kind of roof, but yet they can see through it. So at night they can see the stars and they can see the glory of God in creation, and they will hang vegetables and pieces of fruit on strings from the roof so they could remember the wonderful provision that God made to the Jewish people during their wilderness wandering. The fulfillment of this will be the establishment of the millennial kingdom, when everything that we see going on now is going to be changed. And the kingdom is just the time of righteousness. Will cover the lands like the waters, and God's peace and righteousness will be on display in a great way. So the ultimate fulfillment is when the Lord Jesus is on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem for the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. It's going to be the greatest time of rejoicing that we have ever experienced, even the great rejoicing that we have through our Savior Christ will even be enhanced because the devil will be bound. The atmosphere will be completely changed. And we'll be able to see our Lord Jesus ruling and reigning in Jerusalem in glory and splendor. Remember when he came the first time? He came in poverty, basically. He made his entrance into Jerusalem on a donkey. Well, when he returns, he's not going to be riding a donkey. He's going to be coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
That's not the way he came the first time. He came as a servant
to
suffer and to allow his body to be broken, and he died on the cross and was buried and rose again. But there'll be none of that when he comes the second time. He will put down all of the enemies, all of the nations that are against him. It's like when we read in the book of Daniel, that vision that Daniel had, we see this rock falling from heaven, and it lands on the 10 toes of this image that Daniel had this dream of, and that represents the 10-nation kingdom that Antichrist is going to be over, and it just crushes his feet, and the whole statue comes tumbling down. Then it says, his kingdom will be established that will have no end. The kingdom will just usher us right into the New Jerusalem and ultimately eternity. And that's as far as the Bible takes us.
Marty Zeid with us here today. Let's open some phone lines. Maybe you've got a question about some of the issues he's talked about here today, the Jewish fall feast, their significance, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Feast of Tabernacles. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. And again, if you'd like to get his newsletter, and they do it in print copy, so be sure you put in your mailing address as you send an email to Lennox C, L-E-N-N-O-X, the letter C, at AOL.com. And that would be a way to obtain it, Lennox C at AOL.com. And if you have a question, perhaps about something that Marty said here today or need some clarification or a brief comment, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829 on Crosstalk. Exciting times, Marty.
Yes, they are. It's especially in the world in which we're living right now, to think that all of these things are going to be fulfilled and ultimately leading us into the millennial kingdom, which is going to be 1,000 years of the Lord Jesus ruling and reigning in person in Jerusalem. It's going to be just a wonderful time.
Let's begin with Ed calling in from Spencer, Tennessee. Hi, Ed, you're on the air.
Hello. I just want to say that this gentleman was right, that the Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, is the time that Christ will come, the rapture, when he'll keep us from the time of the tribulation, because Christ is the bridegroom, and of course the body of Christ is the bride of Christ. It's going to be a wedding. And when you have a wedding, you have a date. If you don't have a date, you don't have a wedding. So it's the Feast of Trumpets is the time when Christ will appear for the wedding.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you for your comment there. And Marty, as Scripture also says, we don't know the day nor the hour, but we are told to be ready.
Yes, we are always supposed to have our eyes looking up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are no signs that have to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that has to come to pass as we sit here right now that is preventing the rapture from happening. Not so with the second coming when he comes to the Mount of Olives. There are many things that have to come to pass that will be awaiting that time. But you're right. I believe the rapture is imminent. It can happen at any time. Can it happen on the Rosh Hashanah? Of course, but it's not necessarily guaranteed to happen on that specific day.
We are just 10 seconds from the break, so we'll take the break and come back to more of your phone calls. I see our lines are all packed here. We'll take as many calls as we can. Marty Zeid is our guest here today. We're talking about the Jewish fall feast, specifically that of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll be back in just 1 minute here at a Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On Sunday night, September 18th, we released Brainwashed America Part 2. It's just under 3 hours, but boy, does it move fast. And I interview many people that you need to hear from, including 4 retired high-ranking FBI agents. I also interviewed 3 men that were in the Vietnam POW camps, and in fact, went to the Hanoi Hilton, and were tortured in amazing and brutal ways by the communists. To do what? To go along. To take part in propaganda. To be used. I hope you'll go and watch it. It's free. Give it to as many people as you can to inform them and educate them about the battle for the mind. It's a spiritual battle, and it's a natural battle. WVWTV.com, Brainwashed America, Part 2. Thank you.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Marty Zeid, our guest here today, a Jew who placed his trust in Jesus as his Messiah, December 1, 1971. We're talking about the fall feast today, and let's go next to Richmond, Kentucky. And Arthur, you're on the air.
Thank you, and I'm glad to hear that another Jew accepted Jesus Christ, even if it was 42 years ago. For a Jew to come to Jesus is an amazing thing anymore because of the way they're raised and believe. But my question for you, Marty, I have two. What do you know about Rabbi Assor, who's predicting that Jesus Christ will return this month on the 25th during the Yom Kippur, here, how do you say that, or the year of the Yovel? He's predicted that Jesus will return on the 25th of this month. We all know you can't set a date, but this is
now that's the whole point. And there have always, down through church history, there have always been people who have made date setting a practice. My take on it is the Lord Jesus can come for the rapture at any second. There's nothing that has to take place, and there's nothing that needs to precede the rapture. There's nothing holding it back whatsoever. So we'll wait and see.
Okay.
You know, if he comes this Rosh Hashanah, it's not gonna make me sad at all. I'll be glad.
And Arthur, for sake of time, your second question, please.
What does he know about the five heifers that red unblemished heifers that were sent to Israel on the 15th of this month?
Okay.
Well, the key with that is the time element, because sometimes they have done their best to try to raise the red heifer, and there were times when they thought that they had one, then all of a sudden a wrong colored hair would show up somewhere on it. So my thinking on those kinds of things, let's wait and see if they really pass the test of being truly a pure red heifer. We'll wait and see. Those things are going to happen, because they're going to be using some of those things during the sacrifices and so forth and so on. So any of those kinds of things that we see happening, I'd say let's just not get too overly excited, because we know we've seen these things happen before. But if they are, that's wonderful.
Thank you for the call. We're going to move on because we've got a lot of people lined up. Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have just a couple questions. I believe every one of those feasts, they have a significance for the future, and is specifically the rapture and the return of Christ. And I just wondered if he felt that. Plus, I have another question.
Okay, tell you what, we've already answered the first question more than once, so we'll have you go on to the second question.
Yeah, my second question was, my grandmother, on my mother's side, was Jewish, and I was talking to a Jewish gentleman, and he said, according to Levitical law, that would make me Jewish as well. I mean, is there any significance to that?
Most rabbis will tell you that if the person was born by a Jewish mother, then they're Jewish. The only question I would have is, when you go to the Bible and genealogies are given to prove the Jewish line, it's always Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not their wives, that are mentioned. So it might be that the genealogy goes through the father instead of the mother. Regardless, you're still half Jewish. You know, there's no question about that. And you should be glad of that, that's your heritage and your upbringing and your birth and so forth. But no, I think if a person has a Jewish father and a Gentile mother, or vice versa, they still have Jewish blood in them. I know that for a fact, because that's the way it is with my family. One of my sons did one of those blood tests, and he's almost like 49% Jewish. So that's probably where you stand, something similar to that.
Thank you for the call here, Barry. Zoe is next in Champaign, Illinois. You're on the air.
I had a question about the, am I correct that the calendar that most Jews use now is kind of from the Talmudic Babylonian tradition? And I would like you to comment about the so-called Dead Sea Scroll calendar. Ken Johnson has a book about that, and I don't know about these calendars. I mean, it's confusing to me.
Well, the only calendar I know that the Jewish people use is it goes by the moon. It's a lunar calendar. And we, on the other hand, use a solar calendar revolving around the sun instead of the moon. Those other calendars, I am not aware of them, but as far as I can go back in history, that the calendar that the Jewish people use is a lunar calendar. If a person has come up with something new, I would always investigate it. You know, sometimes what has been just fine for years and years and years and years, then somebody wants to come in with something new. I can't comment on those, but I can't comment on the reason why the feast days are where they are is because they're going according to the lunar calendar, the Jewish calendar.
Thank you, Zoe. I'm going to squeeze one last call in. Tom, in Richfield, you're on the air.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm wondering if you can shed any light, if it's relevant to your topic today, the Sabbath observant Church of God that also preaches that there is no literal hell. It puts a great emphasis on the feast. Can you tell me anything about the Church of God? I will take my answer off the air.
Well, let me just say that the Mosaic Law, where a lot of those things came from, the Sabbath and everything else, that was never, ever given to the church. It was given to the people of Israel to distinguish them from all other nations. I do not personally believe that we are under the Sabbath right now, where we worship on a Saturday. We worship on the Lord's Day as a result of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We see the transition of that in the book of Acts. So we need to be careful, especially people coming from a Gentile background, putting too much emphasis on the law of Moses, because that was not given to them. Actually, we're under the law of Christ. That's another topic.
Yeah.
But be careful about the Sabbath is not for the church. We, you know what? You know who our Sabbath is? Christ himself. According
Amen.
To the book of Hebrews.
He's
our rest. We rest in him.
We're going to have to leave it there, Marty. We're out of time. Folks, again, to get the newsletter, send an email to Lennox, C, L-E-N-N, O-X, letter C, at AOL.com. And be sure to include your mailing address when you send that email, and they'll be glad to add you to the list. Marty, thanks for carving out time. I know it's a busy speaking time for you, and we thank you for being available here for Crosstalk.
It was my privilege. Thank you so much.
Great. And stay on the line here for just a moment, if you would. Friends, thank you for joining us here today on the broadcast, and what a great time to share the truth about Jesus, the Messiah. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.